It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I want to talk about a touchy subject, but this is a new study that claims to have found the right number of people you should have on your body count list. Now, if you're not familiar with your body count, that is the number of people that you've been romantically, seriously involved with at some point or another. And they say for men, it's 4 to 5, and for women, it's 2 to 3. So apparently women aren't supposed to have as many old boyfriends as men are allowed to have old girlfriends. It's society just looks at things differently there. Right. I think those numbers are awfully low. That's like 2 to 3 is a low number of people.
For the average person. Right. I mean, I couldn't even get a prom date, so.
Right.
Mine's pretty low.
I didn't get one either.
We tell sad news so that we get attention and everyone's like,
yeah,
I'm actually embarrassed of it, but they've called me out so many times. I just own it. I actually had an offer to go to prom with a very pretty girl, but it was just as friends. Yeah. And I was madly in love with this other girl who did not love me at the time. So I was like, I can't go unless I go with her. I just am too heartbroken.
Oh, wow.
So now I look back, I'm like, what an idiot I was.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But that's how it goes, I guess. So they say that the men, they're usually their age when they finally do go out and get seriously romantic is between 18 and 20. For women, they say that the age is between 16 and 18, so they get started earlier on these serious relationships. I think women are more romantic than men.
I also think that women mature way earlier than guys do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm like, it's just apparent.
Okay.
I mean, just look, look at high school in general, you know. The girls are just more mature.
Yeah, and they're ready for a little bit of a relationship, you know, just to start testing the waters, checking out the guys and dating and seeing do I like the goth guy or do I like the jock?
Also, women stay maturer than the man throughout life as well. Yeah.
I'm waiting to grow up.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it depends on who you're dating or who you're married to, because then that might work against you. Because even though you're more mature,
yeah.
If you're hanging out with somebody who's very immature and you know that, then you yourself might become immature. So it's like you become the person that you're with.
Yeah, you are who you hang out with.
Yes.
So you stop picking up your socks.
That brings me to, my mom used to tell me, she said, tell me who you go with and I'll tell you what you are. And I was like, oh, snap, I got to change my friends.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they say this is interesting. If you're at either extreme, if you have a zero body count or if you have a high body count, people judge you negatively. So not dating at all is considered to be a red flag as well. And also they found that men who have too low of a number get ridiculed or bullied more than women who do. So women can, you know, be picky and choosy, but if men are too picky and choosy, the society makes fun of them.
Well, it's like golf. No one really knows, and you tell them what you want to tell them.
True.
So with golf, yeah, I scored a perfect, I got a hole in one. They don't know.
I do. You're lying.
Hey, I can tell if we're playing at Frankie's Fun Park, because that's a little area right
everybody
there.
Everybody can see it. Frankie's.
You said you got a hole in one, but you did not.
No.
That was 5 right there. I counted.
Well, I'd say there's a lot of reasons why men and women get judged differently on this. And ideally, in a perfect world, we would judge the same. But there are a lot of physical things that can affect men and women when they get to be seriously in relationships with people. So I guess that causes some of this.
Well, it just made me think about Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
So Taylor Swift, she dated a lot of people.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Miley Cyrus did not date a lot of people, but because of what she did publicly, how she dressed, how she acted.
Mm-hmm. How she undressed.
Undressed. Well, people had negative. I mean, they weren't even talking behind her back. They were just saying mean things right to her face.
Right.
Even though she's dated less people, but Taylor Swift dated a lot of people where we would say like, oh, she's dated a lot of people. So.
But the funny thing is, if you told me I had to pick between one of them, I'm going with Taylor because I think it's less skanky.
Okay. Plus, I got some good songs out of her.
Yeah.
And she's cuter than Miley Cyrus, so it's always, for guys, it's always
Miley Cyrus.
But hold on. What? Oh, because Taylor acts less skanky.
I think so. I think Miley comes across as being trash.
Let's just be judgmental.
I mean, we're seeing it. Miley does need a better PR person.
Yeah, maybe you're just a better person. But, I mean, you're judging Hawk. You're talking about a wrecking ball video.
Well, okay. But, I mean, that's evidence right there in your face.
Well, look at the whole family.
Okay, yeah.
The whole Cyrus family.
Okay,
yeah. The mom steals the boyfriend from the other daughter.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And about 35% of them all still have mullets.
And this is a perfect example of what this study was just talking about.
Not to judge. No.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, you can tell if your date finds you attractive based on what they are looking at during the date. And, you know, it's obvious, like I think Tom was saying, when they're staring at everything except you, that is a problem. If they're looking around the restaurant and they're not getting your attention, well, they might have ADHD, too. So it could be a problem.
That's still a problem, man. Yeah. If they're looking at their phone, that's really bad.
Yeah. You know they're not into you, but this is a little bit less specific, and it's things on you that they are looking at, according to this research. So they had people observe folks, like, on a date. And then they had them rate the attractiveness of that person they were on the date with. So by what they were looking at. And so as they were sitting there just spying on them while they were dating, they found that people who looked at the mouth, nose, and cheeks of people, they found them to be more attractive. So if they're looking at your mouth, your nose, or your cheeks, they said you're more attractive, according to the way they rated you after the date. Now, people that looked at this, though, were rated less attractive. Well, they were looking at other body parts. What do you think?
Of course, for women.
Okay. They look at the neck and forehead. If they looked at the neck...
Oh, not what I was thinking.
Okay. It wasn't that.
Oh.
Like if the person was looking at their neck or their forehead during the date, more so, they didn't find them as attractive.
How ugly was this person that they couldn't look them in the face?
No.
See, if you're not looking anywhere except my eyes, then I'm already getting self-conscious of what you're looking at.
Exactly, because if they're looking at a forehead, it's like, you know, is that a blemish? What if I have do I have a pimple up there? Do I have a red spot?
Can you tell if they're not? I mean, that's so close to your eyes, I don't think you...
Well, what do you think I'm looking at right now?
Honestly, it looks like my eyes.
No, your forehead.
See, you can't tell.
Let me see. I'm going to look at your forehead. Does it look like I'm looking at you?
It actually does, yeah. Okay, woo, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I can look at your nose and you don't know either.
Because I like lips. I don't know why lips are attractive to me.
All right, let me
I hate looking at lips on someone because I feel like they're noticing me look at their lips.
Sometimes I have to look at their lips, though, because I'm a little hard of hearing and I have to find out, what are you saying?
You're hard of hearing? Too.
Because my headphones have been up so loud all these years.
Yeah.
DJs lose their hearing a lot.
Well, speaking of lips.
I said DJs lose their hearing a lot.
I heard you. Speaking of lips, this is very interesting because they had actually women rated the pictures of other women as well. And they tended to prefer plumper lips on female faces, but they did not want plumper lips on guys, which was very interesting.
Was it?
Men were found to prefer women with natural-sized lips because the women are going around all the time. They're getting bicycle pumps and pumping up their lips, making them look poochy and like they're, you know, about to kiss somebody, or even when they're taking selfies. And I know this because I have family members that do their lips or their mouth in a certain way. And I'm like, that's not your natural look.
You're making the same mistake that men make about clothes. You think they're doing it for other men. Women do everything for other women.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, even with this research, because the women wanted they said the women with plumper lips looked prettier. And guys don't care. They want natural size looking lips. So if you're looking to get a guy, just don't plump up those lips.
Well, yes, but there are some girls that have big lips to begin with.
Yes, which is, that's natural, though.
I remember one of our old bosses, she used to have this lip gloss that would actually pump up your lips.
How did it pump them up?
I don't know. Whatever the ingredient was in there, it would just... I don't know. It's
like almost
like Novocaine or something like that. It would pump them up.
Like probably the stuff from Pepper's capsaicin or whatever it's called.
Capsaicin.
Yes.
That stuff will burn you if you get too much.
Yeah, it'll make your lips swell up too. Yes.
Is it like an allergic reaction? Is that like where they get poochy?
No, that is crazy. If you're allergic to like latex blowing up a balloon, that saw that.
Well,
guy.
What was that thing that the Kardashian girl did where she was like sucking on a bottle or something and it made her lips poochy?
Oh, what was that?
That's exactly what it was. She was basically applying a vacuum to her lips.
Yes. And I'm like, that's dangerous.
I don't know if it's
she
dangerous.
She wanted big lips, and that's what she got.
You get your lips stuck in that bottle, and you have to go to the doctor, and that's embarrassing to tell that story.
But her lips look good in that bottle, let me tell you.
So if they are looking at your mouth, nose, and cheeks, you are attractive. Forehead and or neck, not as attractive.
But you can't tell.
Well, I think if I'm looking at your neck, I'm looking at your neck right now, Kato. Does that look like I'm looking at your...
No, you're staring at me.
In a weird way?
No, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable right now.
Little creepy.
Well, at least you're above the neck.
Yes. Okay.
But what about people that, you know, there are some people that have trouble just looking someone dead on in the face.
Right.
And they're always like looking askew.
Okay.
Well, but that's natural for them.
Well, like I said, some people have ADHD and stuff. It's like other stuff distract, like the food coming from another server or something. Like, oh, let me look at that.
Oh, what's going on?
Those aren't people you want to date again anyway.
Why not? I mean, people, but they have to date people too. I'm like, you just have to understand that they're going to be, you know, not looking you in the face all the time.
I mean, if you say so, I'm like, people judge on looks, they judge on behavior. I mean, I don't want someone who's not paying any attention to me.
What'd you say?
I don't want you.
Yeah. Does Jamie still pay attention to you?
Yeah, of course she does.
Okay.
We've been married a long time. We get along great.
Well, I know you get along great, but does she pretend like you do, like when you're just going, when she's telling you a story that's very detailed?
I don't pretend. I pay enough attention to be able to answer any question that comes back most of the time.
There you go.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
You know, we were just talking about select restaurant and food, and that is a popular discussion topic here on the Hawk and Tom Show. We think it's universal. Most people like food, and they really like good food. But I saw something today in the research papers that we have, and it confirmed something I've believed my whole life. And I think most people may inherently know this, but they didn't know why, and they didn't know that it was a fact.
Okay.
Food tastes better when you are drinking alcohol with it. And it tastes even better if you've had a little more than the average amount of alcohol, if you got a buzz going on. And it turns out scientists have tested this and found out it is, in fact, true. And they even have some reasons why. Now, have you not experienced that in your life?
Yeah, but normally if I'm having drinks, I don't get hungry.
Really?
Which is always bad for me by the end of the night.
Back when I did drink, I don't really drink anymore. But you get a couple in you and you're like, hey, you want to get something to eat? Nope.
I'm different. I'm like, it makes me hungry.
Now, my thing is once I'm done at the end of the night, then I'm like, well, I'm starving because I haven't eaten today and everything I eat, you're right.
And you got to find a drive-thru to go through.
I ain't driving
at this point. Well, I know, but someone else is.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I found this to be true in my experience. I was talking about one of my best meals ever, and it was a ribeye and some crab legs on a night where we had maybe a little more than we should, but we were indoors. It was fine. And there's so many instances I can think of where we were having some drinks, adult beverages, and the food just tasted so good. Well, scientists actually did a study on this, and they found that it is in fact true that people tend to, percentage-wise, find food to taste better if they've been drinking alcohol. And they say the interesting part of this study is that people feel rewarded in their brain when they eat high-fat foods after drinking alcohol. There's something about the alcohol that turns on those receptors in your brain and makes you feel rewarded whenever you eat high-fat foods when you've been drinking. It may have something to do with the beer or the alcohol having so much carbs in it, and it balances them out.
It's why these fast food places stay open until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
And that Waffle House stays open all night.
Yeah, because people come in there usually after they've been partying.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess I'm a little surprised that you guys didn't agree with this more seriously, because to me it's such a definite thing.
Well, I said yes if I eat.
Right.
But I usually eat after I'm done drinking.
Food is food, and if it's good, I'm going to eat it. Yeah. I don't need alcohol for that.
Well, I don't need it, but it makes it even better.
Well, and I saw also a new study said that people tend to drink more alcohol on days where they've exercised compared to days that they don't exercise because they want to reward themselves. It's like, okay, you know what? I blew off some steam in the gym, and so I'm going to go ahead and reward myself with some kind of alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, they wanted me to join a gym one time. They said, we have a bar. I'm like, oh, well, hold on. They're like, it's a juice bar. And I'm like, yeah, that's not getting me in the door. If I could go step on a treadmill with a beer mug in my hand, there you go. I would do it.
That's an interesting
idea, Cato. Mm-hmm. I think you should make a gym that has a liquor bar in it.
Yeah.
And people would go there. And plus, you could tell your spouse, I'm going to the gym.
Yeah.
Make sure they sign waivers before they use that equipment, though.
Oh, well, walking in the door is a waiver. Okay. You walk in.
But it could be because people have to use all their willpower and cognitive resources to do the exercises and make sure they go do, you know, their exercise routine. And they want to reward themselves with the beer afterwards.
Oh, yeah. I ran a 5K one time. I didn't run the whole thing. walked it, but I did complete it.
Okay.
But at the end, you came across the Liberty Bridge downtown, and there were people passing out free beers to all the jog. You jog back into
okay.
The, yeah,
okay.
You walk until you get right where everybody can see you at the finish line, and then you take off jogging.
But that ain't the only 5K that you've actually participated in, because the one you quit halfway through, went to a bar, and then continued walking.
Well, I didn't quit.
Oh, okay.
I was just the last one to come into to cross the finish line, but I felt good crossing that line. Yeah. The line wasn't even there anymore. They'd already opened traffic back up to roads. Yeah.
Could you imagine, like, bicyclists that have those big marathons where you're like, and they get the, you know, they come through on the bicycle, grab the cup of water. What if that was like an alcoholic beverage?
I'd have wrecked.
Yeah, and you see those wrecks when, like, one wrecks, about 60 of them wreck.
Probably swing back around and get another cup.
I forgot about that race.
Uh-huh.
I did finish. They just weren't there anymore.
I wonder why you forgot about it.
Go figure.
Good point. Good point.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, I know Tom and I, when we travel differently in some ways as far as our plane habits go, because I know that a lot of times Tom will get really relaxed. He'll take his shoes off on the plane. I don't like to do that. I don't even take my shoes off at home, really. So he gets really comfy and cozy and kind of makes things better for him while he travels on a plane.
He's been known to climb into the floor.
That's true. Yes.
There was room.
That's just nasty.
Yes. There was plenty of room.
Okay.
I wasn't like getting in anyone's way.
But the flight attendant, when they have to wake you up so you can get the drink cart through.
I wasn't in the aisle. This was one of those that has the big center section. Okay. I was in three seats where there was no one sitting.
Okay.
I mean, you guys try to make it sound like something bad when it wasn't.
Okay, but when it comes to reclining your seat back on a plane, Tom's relaxed about that. He says everybody is allowed to do that.
They are. The seat was designed that way.
Well, I have the most, and they say it's one of the most annoying things people actually do on a plane, according to this research.
If that's the most annoying thing you got to deal with, then count yourself lucky.
But, you know, sometimes the TV is on the back of the chair in front of you, or you could prop your iPhone or iPad up there to watch something. If that seat is in my lap, I'm not going to be able to see that screen.
It doesn't go in your lap. It's designed specifically
to... It's close enough.
Oh my,
it feels claustrophobic. What if the seat would have been laid back on the floor you were lying on?
It wouldn't have made any difference.
It's not that big of a space between the seats.
I was perfectly comfortable, and I don't care if the person in front of me puts their seat back. It's made to sit back. It doesn't affect you.
Okay, so there are actually rules when it comes to reclining your chair on an airplane. They say, give the person behind you a heads up.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You don't even have to talk to them. You can just give them a quick glance and let them know you're about to lean back.
No.
So you have this look back at them. I'm about to lean back. It's almost a dance there.
No.
All right, Stacy, why are you shaking your head?
Because I'm not going to take a chance in being called a Karen or something like that.
Okay, time out. Do you lean back? Are you a leaner or not when it comes to flying?
No, I don't. I'm more like I've got to have the window seat.
I do too.
So that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. When you recline, they say recline your seat slowly. Don't lean all your weight into the seat and just push the button and just fly right back in their face.
I agree with that. It's common courtesy. You don't want to just go jolt whatever they might have on the tray.
If I do lean it back a little bit, I'll do it nonchalantly.
I would too.
I'll push the button and just go real slow.
And I just do it a little bit, just so I'm not sitting upright. I'll do it just a tad that's not going to bother them or get in their way.
Yeah, but I will do it throughout the whole plane. Then I'm finally leaned all the way back, but it takes me about an hour to get my seat reclined. But I don't want to inconvenience the person behind me.
Now, I will say a lot of the flights I take are two-hour flights.
Uh-huh.
So, Tom, there's no reason your chair should be laid back for a two-hour flight.
There absolutely is,
no.
Because the seat is designed to be able to do that, and I want to get comfortable.
What's the male Karen?
Tom.
I'm not a Karen. You're the one who's going,
hey, he put his seat back. Hey, call the manager.
I wouldn't tell on you, but I would steal something out of your bag
that
while you're sleeping.
Is so funny. I mean, we are adults, y'all.
No, we're not.
How old are we? He faced deep. It's like we're in kindergarten. Where's the teacher? They call us out right now.
He lays his seat back in here. They,
there you go.
Time out. Dunce hat.
You don't have to recline the whole way, Tom, is another rule here.
But you can if you want to, as it's made that way.
Okay, if halfway is good enough, stop there and give the person behind you some extra room.
Yep.
So halfway.
See, it takes up room.
Mm-hmm. All right, don't recline while they're eating their meal is one of the rules when you recline your seats. It's annoying to eat with a seat in your face.
Yep.
God, such whiners.
Okay.
But it's also the responsibility of the person who is using the tray when they are finished. Don't just leave the tray down to put it back up. So if you're going to say you've got to ask to put your seat down or forewarn somebody that you're going to put your seat back, that person also has to take responsibility and put their tray back up.
I don't
when
do any
finished.
Of that. I don't care if they leave the tray down or up. I don't care what the people in front of me does. I don't care. The person in front, if they want to lean their seat back, I welcome them. Lean your seat back. It's made for this.
You know, airlines keep adding fees. I think they should add a fee that if you want to recline your seat, you pay extra.
Then
they put all of you in one section of the plane.
Uh-huh.
And then they can put the crybabies in the other section.
We'd rather be on by ourselves.
You know, though, it's interesting, though, because you do have planes where you can recline the seat back and it gets in someone's space. They don't really, at movie theaters, they don't have a place where you recline your seat. Or
most of movie theater seats recline.
Do they recline?
They do go back.
Quite a bit.
I haven't been since Frozen 2.
Okay. A church, you don't see any reclining seats there. I think
that's because you go to sleep.
You can sleep pretty good on those pews, though. Yeah. Without reclining.
Oh, you know what? When I was a little kid, I would fall asleep in mama's lap. And then after church, you'd crawl underneath the pews and you'd play with your friends underneath, like you'd army crawl through the church. Yeah.
Aw.
So, yeah.
Fun times.
I have my weird quirks too, Tom, about church seats. Yes, so. So anyway, they say the final one here is, if the person behind you gets angry, don't let it make you angry. Obviously, try to be a decent person. Plus, you don't want to deal with an angry person the rest of the flight.
No.
Who's sitting there purposely knocking your chair or your seat in your air in the airplane, and you know your head's jarring every time they do something.
By the way, if you've got a kid and you're sitting behind, say, me, don't let your kid kick the seat.
Okay. But some parents allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't even see the kids doing that.
Because they're probably reclined back in their neighbor's seat sleeping.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. All right.
I don't know. Why don't we all just drive to our destinations if we can?
Because you can't recline your driver's seat.
Oh, there's a good one.
Oh, you can.
Oh, you can.
Could you imagine that?
And now they make them with, they got massagers in the seat. You got your TV. You can recline back. Shoot.
And some cars drive themselves.
That's right.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.